How much farther? Josephine asked. Martha waited, but when Gran didn't say anything, she spoke up. You asked the question 5 minutes ago, Josephine. We're supposed to reach Sedgebrook sometime this afternoon. It would have been faster if we could have taken the train, Josephine said. Her sister had said that, too, at least 3 times since they'd started the journey this morning. She bit back her impatience. Josephine was excited, that's all. They hadn't left Griffin House during the past year because of the mourning period for their father. Josephine might also be anticipating seeing Sedgebrook, one of the great houses of England. Martha might have been enthusiastic about seeing it as well if she wasn't nearly overwhelmed by regret. A wagon filled with her father's notebooks, Bessie, as well as other prototypes for the York torpedo ship and the rest of the inventions he'd worked on for the whole of his life, followed them at a slower pace. From time to time, their coachman stopped on the side of the road to give the wagon time to catch up. Her father would no doubt approve of this journey. She could almost hear his words.
Martha, I'm sure there's a reason he never wrote, and one compelling him to refuse my bequest. You need only be patient for the answer to be revealed to you.
She had a great deal of patience when it came to devising a tiny chain to stretch between the propeller and the gyroscope. She could sit for hours painstakingly forming the links with a tool and a magnifying glass. However, she didn't have the same kind of tolerance for the Duke's actions. He'd harmed her father, and she wasn't about to flippantly forgive him. Although, at one point he'd been interested in her father's advances in torpedoes, no doubt he'd changed his mind over the past year. Perhaps he was now involved in races, hunts, balls, and dinner parties. Something more fascinating to him than the product of a man's mind and imagination. She'd never been more disappointed in one person in her entire life. The man she'd come to know in letters to her father had probably never existed. The eager young naval officer had disappeared, to be replaced by a duke who looked down his nose at anyone of lesser rank. She didn't want to meet the Duke of Roth. She certainly didn't want to speak with him. Nor would she be burdened with corresponding with the man ever again. Josephine, on the other hand, looked ecstatic about the upcoming meeting. Excitement pinkened her cheeks and made her eyes sparkle like jewels. Her grandmother, dressed in black, which was the only colour she'd worn for as long as Martha could remember, sat beside Josephine. Her sister was wearing a dark blue high-waisted travelling dress. Martha's attire was similar, but not as fashionable, since her dress was at least 3 years old, while Josephine had recently freshened her wardrobe. Martha's bonnet was the match of her grandmother's, not as flattering as the hat her sister wore, a small, attractive bit of straw in feathers set forward, as if to accentuate the perfection of Josephine's face. Josephine's brunette hair was swept up and away, the better to reveal her beauty. Her eyes were deep green, the colour of grass. Martha's were a muddy brown, and nondescript, a word she thought applied to the rest of her. She and Josephine were of a height, but her sister's figure was perfect, while hers was slightly heavier in the bosom. Marie had once made the comment that Martha was of English peasant stock, the perfect form for giving birth and suckling a dozen children. She'd been 18 at the time and had only stared, hurt, at her stepmother.
Oh, Martha, we can't all be beauties. Besides, we both know you'd be happier being your father's assistant for the rest of your life. Balls and soirees are not your cup of tea.
She could still hear Marie's trilling laugh and the words that had proven to be, unfortunately, prophetic. She wasn't the type for a season. Look how disastrously it had turned out.